Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host, and I would like to invite you for the next 30 minutes to stay tuned. Could be the most important 30 minutes of your day, maybe even your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration, and mostly about education. And we do it with no manipulation. That means there is no hidden agendas here. There's nothing that we're trying to sell you. And we certainly don't have anything that we're trying to get you to join. And we're not offering any human speculation. Only divine information from the Word of God, from the Bible. That's right, it is a show about the Bible. However, no ranting, no raving, no preaching. Just me talking to you. If you're interested in verifying and identifying God's plan for your life, then I would invite you to stay tuned for a few minutes. You can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like. But give it a shot. Listen. Because the Flatline is about establishing a main line of resistance in your soul. That main line of resistance in your soul is the Word of God. And when you learn the Word of God and operate under the Word of God, then it's possible that you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. All of us have adversity. The Bible tells us that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And quite frankly, most of the adversity that we have is self-induced. However, there is a way that we can alleviate our suffering, and that is by, number one, confessing our sin. The Bible says if we sow to the wind, we reap the whirlwind. And when we confess our sin, God said He's faithful and just to forgive us. And He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness that's found in 1 John 1:9. And that is the first part of the main line of resistance. That is the first problem-solving device. How do I deal with sin when I commit it? And quite often, a lot of Christians get frustrated because they repeatedly sin. Paul the Apostle dealt with this in Romans 7:15 when he said, I don't understand myself at all. Because I want to do what's right, but I inevitably do what's wrong. And then he said, it's sin in me that causes me to do this. Well, that's right. We all have a genetically formed old sin nature. We got it from our father. It was passed down through the male. The Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on to all, for all have sinned. So we're all born under the penalty of sin. And if we're not careful, we wind up living under the power of sin. But it is possible to break sin's power in your life by living a spiritual life, by letting God's Holy Spirit control your life, and by growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you won't ever sin again, but it means you'll never have a guilt complex about it. And it does mean that if you do sin, you will know exactly what you did, and you will know how to recover quickly from that particular sin. This is very important for you to understand. If you're going to execute the spiritual life, you have to know how to live it. And so that's really what this radio show is about. Sometimes people say, why do you do this radio show called The Flatline? Well, I am Rick Hughes, and the reason that I do it is that I am wanting to give accurate information. As I told you earlier, no human speculation, but accurate information. You see, once we have the information, once we have heard the information, then God is going to hold us accountable. You see, because we are going to be accountable for what we know and did not act on. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we know that the justice of God is vindicated once we've understood the results of what could happen and the consequences of what could happen. And then if we continue to ignore God's plan, then when they do happen, when these consequences come into our life, which are usually some sort of suffering, then we have no right to go to God and complain and be bitter and say, why didn't you tell me about this? See, this has been Satan's objective for centuries, to tell God that he's unfair. To tell God that it's not right to send us loving creatures to the lake of fire. And that's exactly why you and I are here, to vindicate the justice of God and demonstrate that God was fair, not unfair. Never, ever has God ever been unfair. And if you think that God has treated you unfairly, then you've made a critical mistake in your understanding of the character of God. So the purpose of this radio show is to give accurate information and then to seek those who want to learn more. Most of my life, as I've been in the ministry for 40 years now, I've looked for people that are hungry, people that hear something and say, how can I get more of that? People that hear something they've never heard before, or at least they hear something put in a way that they've never heard it put before, and they're hungry for it. You know, it's amazing. People are willing to buy things from radio preachers. They're willing to send money to radio preachers, and they get excited about buying these books. One thing on our show, we never sell books. We give them away, and we never solicit money. If you listen to our show, you'll see there's never a commercial. We don't advertise anything on this show. This show is strictly by the grace of God, provided by the grace of God, as I trust God to provide the finances and the direction of the show. And if you hang with me, you will learn the Word of God. And I'm looking for people like that. And to be quite honest, it only happens about once every few thousand times when someone will say, man, I've never heard anything like that. How do I get more? Where did you get that from? How did you learn that? When I hear those kind of questions, then I know that somebody's growing. When I get letters from people that say, you've taught me something I've never known before. You've taught me how to execute the Christian life, how to live the Christian life. Those are encouraging letters, and I know those people are going to grow. They're going to continue their advance. See, becoming a mature Christian requires a continued advance. And that continued advance means that you must find time to prioritize studying God's Word in your life on a daily basis under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is the second problem-solving device on our main line of resistance called the flight line. Learning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit was something that happened to me maybe a year or so after I got saved, because I kept hearing about people talking about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there was not a big charismatic movement at that time, so no one was telling me that I needed to foam at the mouth and play the tambourine or anything like that. But they were telling me that I needed to be filled with the Spirit, and I didn't know how to do it. Until eventually I found a pastor that explained it to me. And I've explained it to you many times on this particular radio show. When you are saved, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you are filled by the Holy Spirit. And when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you confess your sin to God, then you are filled with the Spirit again. And it is possible that any one moment in the day, you are filled or not filled. You're always saved. You're always indwelled. You're always sealed. But you may or you may not be filled. To be filled by the Holy Spirit means that He is controlling your mind. He is controlling what you think. Not your genetically formed old sin nature. Because it's always a battle for your mind. And the reason that it's a battle for your mind is that's where the volition is. That's where the chooser is. That's where the decider. The volition is what makes you do what you do. When you sin, it's a volitional decision. And so if the Holy Spirit's in control of your life and you're submitted to a temptation, then you can say, no, I don't want to do that. Or you can voluntarily say yes and step out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Allow your old sin nature to surface and take control of your life and commit the sin. And then you're out of fellowship with God. Did you lose your salvation? No, you're still saved. Did you lose the sealing of the Spirit? No, you're still sealed. Did you lose the indwelling of the Spirit? No, but you lost the filling of the Spirit. And when you confess your sin, then the Holy Spirit is restored to control of your life. And you will be filled or not filled sometimes 10 or 15, 20 times a day. Depends on how many times you commit active sin in your life. Whatever the sin is, you can recover from it. And don't think you can't confess the same sin more than once, because I have confessed the same sin hundreds of times. Sure you can. God doesn't put a limit on it and say, now I'll forgive you for it 37 and a quarter times. But on the 38th time, you're on your own, sucker. That's not what God says. He simply says, as a faithful and a loving God and a just God, that if we would confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. You can read Psalm 32:5 and see the same thing as in 1 John 1:9. So understanding this divine package that God has given to us, understanding our portfolio of invisible assets, is what this radio show is about, telling you how you may receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and what the phenomenal gifts are that are associated with you believing in Jesus Christ. The phenomenal gifts include about 40 irrevocable things, 39 irrevocable things, the filling of the Spirit can be revoked when you sin, but you can reclaim it, as I've just told you. So there's some phenomenal grace blessings associated with you putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's a big confusion today in Christianity about what does it mean to be saved. And obviously, you should know, and I assume if you're listening to this radio show, you probably do know that it's faith alone in Christ alone. It's not faith plus giving up peanut butter. It's not faith plus never going swimming again. It is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly says, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him forever. Well, what am I supposed to believe? Jesus said it Himself in John 6, this is the will of God, that you believe in Me whom He hath sent. You're to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. And do you believe that He went to the cross and died for you? That He took your place? That He paid the penalty for your sin? Do you believe that? Then you can express that belief to God in prayer and simply tell Him, Heavenly Father, I am believing that Jesus Christ is your Son, and I am believing that what He did on the cross was for me, and I accept that. That's what it means to be saved. It's just that simple. It's you coming to the Father and accepting the free gift offered by the Son through faith and faith alone. So it's not you earning God's forgiveness. It's not you never doing anything bad again and God taking it away. It's not the way it works. As you believe in Jesus Christ and begin to explore your portfolio of invisible assets, you will find that God has designed a spiritual life just for you. It's a spiritual life that you operate in, that you live in. It's your own palace. It's your own portfolio of invisible assets. It's a life of a uniform set of principles and divine mandates that provide a ultimate way to glorify God to the maximum by you representing His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through your life. You become Christ-like. A Christian is a little Christ. And as you grow in grace and as you mature in the Word of God and as you represent Jesus Christ, God is glorified to the maximum. The spiritual life is not designed to alter your personality. A lot of people kind of go to a personality alteration when they get saved, and they start talking in spiritual terms like praise God, brother, hallelujah, sister. If the Lord's willing, I'm going to go to church today. Well, that's all fine. That's just not me. Maybe that's not you either. But when they start talking like that around me, I look for the door. Because I know that most of the time it's a phony sort of personality or phony sort of way of talking to sound spiritual. A person that is spiritual, it's an invisible thing. No one can see if you're filled with the Spirit or not filled with the Spirit. And you don't have to start talking in any particular way to impress people that you are a saint now, that now that you're a Christian and now you've got to talk a certain way. You can talk in a normal way, in a normal tone of voice, and be filled with the Spirit and share Jesus Christ with people without sounding overly religious. But in eternity past, as God prepared your package for you, as He prepared your very own palace that He wants you to live in, that's a metaphor for the spiritual life, your own palace, your own spiritual life. God has prepared and provided these wonderful things for you. I'm going to read to you a passage out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And this is the Apostle Paul talking a little bit about the package. talking a little bit to the church at Ephesus about the things that God has given to them. This is his prayer for them. This is how he prays, and listen carefully. I'm going to read it, and then I go back and explain some of it. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, I'm praying, quote now, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a lifestyle of wisdom and revelation concerning him, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, and you will know what is the confident expectation of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, there are several words I want to key on in here. I want to key on two things to start with. In the first part of this prayer, Paul said, I'm praying that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a lifestyle of wisdom. The first question is, what is a lifestyle of wisdom? And the answer is that the lifestyle of wisdom is you operating under divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. It is you on the divine highway, not the my way highway. The lifestyle of wisdom is you understanding your portfolio of invisible assets and you functioning in that lifestyle, you operating in that lifestyle. The lifestyle of wisdom is you learning the plan of God and operating in the plan of God. That's what it boils down to. And revelation, a lifestyle of wisdom and revelation. And revelation is the apocalyptic insight into what this is something special and that God is going to give to you. And so he says, I want you to have a lifestyle of wisdom and divine disclosure. Revelation is divine disclosure concerning him. And it actually, in the original manuscripts of the Greek New Testament, not necessarily in the English, it says, in the epinosis of him. In epinosis autos, personal pronoun. In the epinosis of him. So the lifestyle of wisdom and the divine disclosure from God comes through the epinosis of him. Now, the word epinosis is a word I won't explain to you. Please don't let me bore you with it. But when you're talking about the word knowledge, there are two Greek words for knowledge. One of the words is gnosis, and the other is epinosis. Gnosis knowledge is something you've heard and understood, but not applied. And epinosis is something you've heard, understood, and applied. To give you a good illustration, if you go to church, you listen to the pastor give a message, and you walk out the door, and you don't apply what he taught you, then you got gnosis, but not epinosis. That makes sense, doesn't it? So he goes on to say, the reason that he's praying this is they would have a lifestyle of wisdom through divine disclosure concerning the full knowledge of Christ. So that, now here's your purpose clause. Now he's going to tell them why he's praying this and what this will do for them. In verse 18, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And then you will know what is the confident expectation of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, let's look at this. The eyes of your understanding. Most people don't realize that the spiritual life has eyes. Paul is using this as a metaphor, and it is used as a metaphor for observing, for learning, for having perception. It is a Greek word that we get an English word from it called ophthalmology, but it's the Greek word ophthalmos, O-P-H-T-H-A-L-M-O-S, and we get from that ophthalmology, they're the doctor who takes care of your eyes. And so this is a metaphor for the faculty of knowing or being able to see clearly with the mind. The eyes of your understanding. Now, what's the first thing that you want to be able to see? Okay, listen carefully. You want to look into the mirror of the Word of God, and the first thing you want to be able to see is you. You want to be able to see you and what you are, what you look like. That's the first thing. Who are you? Because if we have an arrogant, unrealistic self-image, we're going to be in a big jam. We're going to be in a really big jam. And so we look into the mirror of the Word of God, and we see ourselves as we really are. You can only do this through something called humility. And the only way you're going to be able to have the attitude to adjust once you see it is to have enough humility to say, "You're right, God, that's me, I've been a jerk, I've been an idiot, that's exactly right, and I will make this change." And that boils down to a volitional decision. That boils down to you deciding that what you've been doing is wrong, and now I'm going to turn around and go the other way. And you may know that word is repent, and it means to change your mind, to have a change of mind. And the only way you can have a change of mind is when the divine disclosure comes from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to let you see yourself as you really are. And then you have to decide, will I or will I not change? One of the things that parents and friends pray for is that God the Holy Spirit would give a divine disclosure to Christians that are out of fellowship. If you have a child that's out of fellowship on the My Way Highway, you can't change them. You can pray that God the Holy Spirit would give them a divine disclosure so that they can see themselves as they really are. So that the eyes of your understanding, this is still in verse 18 of Ephesians, chapter 1, dealing with Paul's prayer, the eyes of your dianoia, the eyes of your understanding. Dia means through, and noia or nous means the mind. And so the understanding comes through perception or determination. Understanding is a wonderful word, and the English doesn't make the distinction between masculine or feminine gender, anything like that. But this is a wonderful word. It is dianoia, is what we call a feminine noun. It's used 13 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated mind, sometimes it's translated understanding, and in one particular situation, it's translated imagination. The eyes of your understanding is the ability of the perceptive ability of the Word of God through a divine disclosure to let you see yourself as you really are. So that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, the Apostle Paul said. Enlightened. That's some sort of divine illumination. That is God revealing something to you. The Greek word in this case is photizo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. It means to give light or to make evident or to become clear. That means that you won't be walking around in a fog. And it seems to be a word that is being used today. I'm starting to notice it quite a bit. It's called lenses, looking at life through the lenses of the Scripture. Well, that's fine if you want to use it that way. This means that your lenses are clear. It's kind of like you got a dirty car and a dirty windshield and you're driving down the road and the sun's in your eye and you can't see anything. So you get it clean and then you have a sharp, clear vision. Your mind can get like that too. Cluttered up with scar tissue, cluttered up with guilt, and thus confused and not sure of yourself. And now you have a divine disclosure. Now you understand and you're enlightened. So this is the passage that Paul prays for these Ephesian believers. He wants them to have that spirit of wisdom. I'm going to go back to the first verse there in Ephesians 17. The spirit of wisdom, that's the word Sophia. That's the knowledge of the Word of God expanded in your soul. That's when it's inside of your soul, circulating in your stream of consciousness, waiting to be used. You don't always use everything you learn immediately. You can bet that when you learn something, you're going to be tested on it, that's for sure. But it may be down the road somewhere. So you have it there. And Sophia is that Word of God, that biblical information on the launching pad in your soul, ready to go to work when you need it. So Paul prays for spirit of wisdom and apocalypsis, a divine disclosure, a revelation concerning unknown things. The unknown things was the mystery doctrine of the church. It had never been known before. And through divine disclosure, Paul was able to reveal that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We now have been indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of this comes through or by means of the knowledge of Him, or by means of His doctrine. This is part of your portfolio of invisible assets. That's what I told you to begin with. The lifestyle of wisdom is that portfolio of invisible assets. It's one, the ability to explore and inherit the riches that God has for you. And number two, it's to be given a lifestyle of wisdom through previously undisclosed information so that you now have divine illumination through Jesus Christ. And God's plan is now revealed to you. And number three, you will have extreme confidence in His selection and the use of the riches of His glory, which is the inheritance of the saints. That's what the Bible says. Is that boring? Is that confusing to you? This is what's yours. This is there for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is a significant advantage over what the rest of the world enjoys. It is you having the Word of God as a guide. It is you having the Holy Spirit to empower you. And so when you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the guide of the Word of God and the indwelling of Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, this gives tremendous confidence in your life. So much so that you have a phenomenal peace and happiness that the world doesn't understand. How could you abandon that? How could you walk away from your spiritual life and commit the tragic mistake of going down the my way highway? And yet many believers do that. They spend their entire physical life trying to prove something to somebody, looking at the temporal, but not the invisible. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." The unseen things in your life is what you think in your soul. It's the divine viewpoint of the Word of God in your soul. I trust you will understand this, and I trust that it will make sense to you. Because if a believer ignores God's mandates, he or she will eventually self-destruct. And if you stay on the my way highway, it's just a matter of time. That's why God has disclosed this information to you today. You have freely heard it, and I pray you will respond and believe it. If I can help, you feel free to contact me, Rick Hughes. Go to the website or listen to the announcer at the end of the show, and he'll tell you how to do it. But until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.